home. We are WNST. We are having a great bye week here, no matter what the record says, because we're having crab cakes. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have Raven Scratch, also be a Costas and Timonium on Wednesday, and then back out for breakfast. Maybe a little crab imperial muffin over at State Fair in Catonsville. We hope to see everybody over there. World Series in progress. Alan's joining us on that, and obviously, all fingers are crossed to Lamar Jackson. Two football games on Sunday, first against the Bears here, and then down to Miami on Thursday night. With quarterbacks everywhere on my screen this weekend during bye weekend, watching a bunch of young quarterbacks in secondary places, whether it's Baker Mayfield moving around, other quarterbacks moving to their second home out in Seattle as well. I thought it'd be a great time to welcome Lee Steinberg back onto the program. He's always generous with his time. Kind of any time of the year I can call on Lee, but it's only once a year I can call on Lee with really his heartstrings. I mean, you know him as agent guy, Jerry Maguire, Patrick Mahomes, we could do all that. But really, Lee, the Dodgers are first and foremost with you, right? I mean, this is a big week for even you.
They are. It was 1958, and they moved to Los Angeles, and they were the Brooklyn Dodgers. And my grandpa took me to opening day, and I fell in love with Sandy Koufax and Maury Wills and Jim Gilliam and John Roseboro and the whole team. And it's been a love affair since then. And this may secondarily be a Laker town, but it's a Dodger town, and people are absolutely ecstatic. Shohei Ohtani may have had the greatest single game that a player's had in the history of baseball.
I said that Jim Abbott, to me, of all the things I've seen in 40 years of doing this, Jim Abbott's the most remarkable thing I've seen. But from an individual standpoint, this run Ohtani's on, and I think Dion's become cartoonized a little bit for the coach and the NFL Network and all the commercialization of Dion. But Dion is a baseball and football player, and Bo Jackson and Brian Jordan from here in Baltimore, and what this kid in Jacksonville is doing. Amazing. But pitching and hitting, every kid in Little League did it. Every kid's whose manager, on the Little League team had the kid was a shortstop, third base, but he also pitched. And it just, in our culture, it just really has never happened. And I find it remarkable what he did last week in an individual effort, like up there with Chamberlain. I don't even know what to compare it to, really.
So if he had just pitched six shutout innings with 10 strikeouts, it would have been enough. Or if he just hit a homer, it would have been enough. But he hit three, and it was the crowning game about the right to go to the World Series. So we always evaluate athletes by where they are in clutch circumstances, and obviously he goes down in history. And the exciting thing is, we get to watch it.
Well, yeah, and so does Canada and the whole America versus Canada thing. And, I've talked a little bit about that. We began the season in Toronto, Lee, opening day. The Orioles were the team that was going to be the 90-win team, and the Blue Jays were just trying to figure it out. Now they backed into a World Series here, or fronted into a World Series. As an American League East guy in Baltimore, worried about the money of the Yankees and the Red Sox, the Blue Jays are the kind of engine that could become the Dodgers of Canada, right? Just from a financial standpoint for what that brand is going to be again, as it was 30 years ago with Joe Carter.
I think that people forget that Toronto's in that group of big spenders. And they just did a contract for the younger Vlad Guerrero that was like $600 million. And the countries love each other. The governments are having some problems, but the point is, we grew up loving Canadians. And so I think it'll be a great series. You have two different countries. You have two of the five biggest cities in North America, so the ratings ought to be huge.
Is it okay that I root for the Blue Jays because of Geddy Lee? Is that okay? And Geddy Lee's.
Absolutely. I'm ecumenical. I just happen to have grown up a Dodger fan, and they're, as you said, they're my heart. And we used to be, they had a thing called transistor radios, which your younger listeners are not going to remember. But and you used to be able to stick it under your pillow, and after your parents put you to sleep in the 50s, then you could listen to the rest of the Dodger game. And so we grew up loving Vin Scully's voice, and it was a they marketed Los Angeles like it was Des Moines, Iowa. They had back to school night and Little League night and Boy Scout night, and so the concept became going to a Dodger game. And for all the fun people make up about Southern California sports fans, the Dodgers just drew 4 million fans, and they're universally loved.
I would say this. I was in LA about a month ago on your recommendation, and Chip Namias, who told me go to the Hollywood Bowl. I need to go. So I finally went to the Hollywood Bowl and I saw Pete and Roger, saw the Who, saw the Joe Perry Project, and Steven Tyler showed up and Slash showed up. So I had this remarkable night. I had one extra night and I was going to go to the Whiskey or I was going to go to the Troubadour or maybe both. And Janet Marie Smith said to me, as she is known to do, "Now, Nestor, you know, we've added new, we have new ground, we have new things for you to see in Chavez Ravine." So the next thing you know, I'm at Chavez Ravine eating a Dodger dog, watching Ohtani play for the first time in my life, and maybe seeing a world champion. I mean, the reason I root for Toronto is because, like, the Dodgers won already. You've had championships at every stage of your life, Lee, as a Dodger fan, right? Literally.
Yes, they came in 1958. In 1959, they won the World Series, and then again in 63. And they just kept turning over. Yes, they got a number of players from other teams, but their farm system just cranked it out. Rookie of the year, baseball pitcher. They just kept cranking them out. And they would play with the same players for a long time. So just when you said goodbye to the Koufax, Ron Fairley, Maury Wills, Dodgers, along came to Steve Garvey, Ron Say, Davey Lopes, Dodgers, Bill Russell, and they just kept evolving over time. So it's happy days here in Southern California.
Well, I drove around by accident getting a Rubio's Fish Taco over in El Segundo, and I just backed into the Chargers facility, and I'm like, I didn't recognize it. I'm like, and then I drove through the SoFi area there in LA to see what's going on there with Herbert and you know, what golf has become in Detroit and what Stafford has become in LA. And from a quarterback standpoint, it's a quarterback league. It was when you and Barkowski were, you know, college dorm guys together 50 years ago. But for Lamar and for my franchise and the investment made, Lamar, his cap number is $74 million next year, Lee. So, and when he doesn't play two games, you fall into this disrepair, 1-5, and somehow Joe Flacco can go into Cincinnati and win. And somehow these second chance quarterbacks that were drafted into places like Cleveland, the New York Jets, the Carolina Panthers, different places where it's been more difficult to win. Your guy Mahomes goes into Kansas City and creates a royal situation there for everyone. But it's not, I mean, when quarterbacks have success, there's so many things, including having a good agent, as Patrick Mahomes has. But there's so much that goes into success and failure and owning it along the way because there is no rocket ship to the top. I mean, even the Josh Allens and the Lamar Jacksons, MVP, still looking for the ultimate.
So here's the basic principle. In baseball, if you could hit the ball in Camden Yards, you could hit the ball in Dodger Stadium. If you could hit it in Yankee Stadium, you could probably hit it in Pac Bell Park. But football's situational. And it's why the situations and what the expectations are and the way they play the game, it's the same game, but it's different. So that's why Daniel Jones can leave the Giants where he's under fire and have the best record in the league right now. That's where Sam Darnold can come in. That's where Joe Flacco is at Cleveland, but they put him in the right circumstance with the right offense at Cincinnati, and all of a sudden, he's spectacular. And so it's situational. Mac Jones is having success as a backup in San Francisco. It's situational. And if you're a big star in one place, you may flame out in another. And conversely, if you're having struggles in one place, you put a player into a different system, different support, different coaching, and they flourish.
Lee Steinberg is my guest, the man, the myth, the legend, and always a pleasure to have him on and talk about serious stuff going on, especially during a bye week where we have these two games on Sunday and Thursday, which it always creates sloppy football, all the head injuries, all the bad injury, all the things we talk about. But for Lamar and this hamstring and the $50 million hamstring that he has, and the pressure on a quarterback to get back in and play, thoughts about that a little bit at this point in the season with a hamstring injury and 1-5, because it's Tom Brady called the game last week here when they played the Rams, and he used words like desperate here.
Remember that the Ravens are one of the five, six quality organizations in all of football, and the season's not over yet. I guarantee you that Lamar Jackson is frothing at the mouth to get back on the field, and players just want to play. But these things happen. It's the problem is that football today has become a game where if you have a franchise quarterback, and the Ravens certainly have one in Lamar Jackson, then that is the irreplaceable key to being able to be triumphant, getting through the playoffs to the Super Bowl. And when you lose that critical player, it becomes difficult because we're not playing in an era. You might remember that Joe Montana was backed up by Steve Young and backed up by Steve Bono. In Minnesota, Rich Gannon and Wade Wilson were both starting quarterbacks. And for years ago in Washington, Jay Schrader and Doug Williams were both starting quarterback. We don't have that situation anymore. The backup is clearly the backup, and you will get a drop off and the rest of it. But I have confidence in Baltimore. I mean, they may just scrape in, but I wouldn't give up on the fact they'll pull it all back together.
I said they're going to go 6-2 and they'll be 7-7, and then they'll have to go play for their supper in into January, because I believe in the talent. I believe in everything that when I talk to national people that they believe in. Lee Steinberg is here. You're famous for starting quarterbacks and Hall of Fame quarterbacks. You've negotiated some backup quarterbacks too, and some guys that were on the come or second, chance quarterbacks, or hey, give me a chance, and if you give me the ball, I'll become a starter again. Things that have happened to Geno Smith, the things that have happened to other quarterbacks, that Joe Flacco five times now. The Cooper Rush thing was curious here, in that the Ravens have since departing with Flacco and having Lamar and having a mobile quarterback, that Tyler Huntley was the backup here, performed pretty well for being a backup. There's no 1A for Lamar Jackson. There's no back, no stand-in for him like Tom Cruise. But that being said, the Cooper Rush thing was always curious to me. And from an agent standpoint, when you've just said you want to direct your guys to be in a system where it can work, a guy like Joe Flacco, get him some protection, a running game, and elite wide receivers. He can get him the football because he can throw it. But all of those parts have to work. And to some degree, when you're the last man standing, you get picked. But the Ravens picked Cooper Rush, and I always thought it was a little bit curiously.
Except if you look at Cooper's record, he was the king of preseason. Year after year, he would have the best stats in preseason. And then when they put him in to substitute in Dallas, he played really well. So I believe in Cooper Rush. I think that they'll have better days with him. They had a generalized sort of meltdown a couple of games, and
Well, the line hasn't been good, and I guess to my point is it's built for Lamar. So when you put somebody else in, it and there are no other Lamars, which, all the way around, this it's always your nightmare to play your backup quarterback, no matter who it is. It's looked disjointed because it doesn't look like Lamar, quite frankly.
well, they are two different, very different types of quarterbacks. Cooper tends to be a cup passer, where Lamar is a threat to run at every time and moves outside the pocket. But I'm confident they'll get it together.
We're this far into the year and we're trying to figure out what the kickoffs are and all that stuff. The part where the coach goes into the concussion protocol tent, and like there's stuff that happens in this league every single week that I scratch my head and I wonder, seeing new things and all of this. For you, do you still see things every week from where your vantage point and say, I've never seen that before? Or even as an agent or a lawyer or an insider that you're or a rules guy or competition committee, all of these things to say, I wonder how they're going to rule on that.
So I think there are a couple of distinct differences in the way that football's being played this year. One is the proclivity to go on fourth down. Football's always been a game of field position, and yet you see teams at their own 45, fourth and two, going for it now more and more and more. They just go for it. That's the first thing that's changed, because it goes against coaching sense to ever give up the ball midfield, right?
I
If you
feel
don't.
like they're changing the rules of blackjack in the middle of the casino, like literally, right?
Second thing that's happened is these long field goals. So it used to be you got to about the 35, and that was a 52-yard field goal. And after that, don't even try, punt the ball. But now they're kicking the long field goals. The third thing that's happened is that the return from a kickoff the last 5 years has been a non-existent play. The ball was just kicked out of the end zone. Nobody got it back. It was a superfluous play. Now every kickoff's being run back, and 90% of them. And so, yes, you can see distinct differences in the way that football is being played that are different than what we saw last season.
Last thing for you, and I do want to hear about your works, and I haven't been to your Super Bowl parties in recent years, and I know you're always doing different stuff community-wise, especially out there in LA. The Justin Tucker situation, when you mentioned kickers making long kicks, I'm seeing kickers miss short kicks too. And I'm seeing that Justin Tucker may very well be one of the 32 best kickers on the planet, if not a Hall of Famer. And listen, I mean, your life has been about second chances. You've written books. You've been very, very transparent about anything that's happened in your life that other people have lifted you up, and you've had second chances in this incredible blossoming career, another time around with Mahomes and these championships and all of that. Second chances in Justin Tucker as a spokesperson, as an agent, as a team signing, a team needing a kicker. I believe he's going to kick in the league. It's a really weird, sticky, icky thing in Baltimore with what's been said and done and hasn't been said and done by the team, by the agent, by him, by the people he represented. He was a spokesperson here for an organization that I was a spokesperson for. In many, many ways, it's I don't know how the community knows how to handle it here, but there's going to come a point where a team is going to bring him in and he's going to have an agent and he's going to have a mea culpa or whatever the story is after a 10-game suspension. We saw Rashee Rice come back. You've been a part of this. Tell me how this road works, Lee, to bring back someone like Justin Tucker and have him kick for an organization.
So, when someone has untoward circumstances, self-inflicted or not, the question is whether they acknowledge it. And if they can acknowledge it, Can they show that they've taken steps to prevent a recurrence, right? So this is not a pattern, it's more a one-off. If someone apologizes, takes steps to remediate whatever the behavior is, then this country loves second chances. And it's all about talent level. And teams would play virtually anybody as long as they had the right talent level. So you can't remember that Kobe Bryant had an untoward circumstance, right, in Denver one year. It passed. So kicking is a really shaky part of a football team anyway. So he'll get another chance.
All right, well, what are you doing that's good in the world that I need to talk about that I don't have the notes to ask you about? What's getting you up every day other than Mahomes beating our ass again? I hope we just get to January. We're 1-5 right now. I'm not going to talk like that until we're 500 team, but I know Mahomes still looks very hungry, and lately they look good again. Don't look up again.
Well, I think people early in the season, when they lost a few games, forgot the fact that they didn't have Xavier Worthy at wide receiver, and they didn't have Rashee Rice at wide receiver. So what he was looking at the throw to was less effective. Now those players are back, so now the Chiefs, ought to roll. I established a new foundation to deal with a traumatic brain injury and raise money to do research, because, as I've told you before, I had a crisis of conscience back in the 1980s. I'm representing half the starting quarterbacks. They keep getting it hit in the head. And we would go to doctors and ask them, how many is too many? What's the magic number? And they had no answers. So we've come a long way since then. The concussion protocol isn't advanced. The rules against hitting quarterbacks in the head or neck isn't advanced. There are actually teams, Nestor, conferences like the Ivy League that play football without any hitting in practice or preseason. They just model the plays. So we're making some progress. There are two new breakthroughs in neuroplasticity that can reheal a concussed brain. One of them is called RTMS, which is magnets against the brain, and the other is neurofeedback. And there are, so it's promising, but at our Super Bowl party, we'll have a couple hours on brain health and a brain body lounge to try to bring awareness, because I care about players' long-term health.
I never expect the league to bring it up. And having been a deposed media member now, my fourth year being thrown out after 30 years of being on the inside, and having injured players, knowing injured players, knowing players of my generation, I'm now 57, who were my age when the Ravens got here 30 years ago, who have CTE issues and have had trauma in all sorts of ways. I applaud you because it's going to come from the outside. And listen, I see the helmets. I see those soft helmets, and I wonder why they don't all wear them. I guess they're not shiny enough for the league. But whatever would make it more safe for my child, my loved one, my brother, my client, my friend, my nephew, whomever, niece, to be involved in the game, would make me feel better about it because it is so violently.
And I think parents have to be very aware of what the dangers are in tackle football, and make their mind up that there will come a limit to the amount of head injury that it's rational to expose yourself to.
Dodgers and how many?
Hey, if they win in seven, I'll be delighted. The fact they swept the Brewers has nothing to do with playing the Blue Jays.
I must say to you, your name came up a couple weeks ago about, I had some Houston people on or something about when LA didn't have a team, and the Maryland played at the Rose Bowl for the first time last weekend here against Rick Neuheisel's kid. So, but being out and seeing SoFi and seeing, I went to a concert about a year and a half ago at the Old Forum, saw Pearl Jam there, and I saw it growing up. My wife hadn't been to LA in like 5 years, and we drove through that area, and there's another arena now that the Clippers play. The Inglewood footprint, I could have never have imagined that. And I must ask you, because you're one of the smartest dudes I know. You were there when Kroenke and the whole deal went down with Spanos and everything that happened. I was at the owners' meetings in Scottsdale. Did you know that this is going to become Hollywood Park? Like everything you know about LA and your life there, that when you drive through it, it is kind of remarkable 2 miles away from LAX to me.
No, it's great. And remember, I was chairman of Save the Rams, and one of the teams that we looked at to bring in was Tampa Bay back in another life, but that site was going to be Hollywood Park. So I knew that when they stopped racing, the room in Inglewood was great. And now you've got the Clippers there too. So it's but remember, we're like Noah's Ark. We have two baseball, two football, two hockey, two soccer, two basketball,
Two colleges,
two
USC and
college.
UCLA, right?
So it's fairly active.
Well, I always love my time in LA. I love spending time with you. Miss you. Thank you for always visiting and being the wisdom guy you are. I need more sage, Yoda types around here. So you keep me in line, Lee Steinberg. I appreciate that. So thank you very much. Keep up the great work with the league too.
My pleasure.
And good luck to Patrick Mahomes, and I sort of mean it. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.